Welcome, everybody. Dan Goodman here, Profitioner Spotlight. I want to give you a little illustration here. On today's program, Doc and I are going to be speaking about the various roads of prophecy. We're calling this the roads of prophecy. Did you know there are different kinds of prophecy? There's prophecy that's about Israel. There's prophecy that's about Christians. There's signs and things that deal with creation. All of them point to the same thing, but they're different roads, aren't they? I want to give you a little illustration to help you understand what I'm talking about, and then we're going to bring Doc in, and I think we're going to help you today. We've been talking about this for weeks now. I've been telling folks we're going to be talking about the different categories of prophecy, and that day has come, and we're going to do that today. Let me give it a little illustration. We've had some car problems in recent weeks. I had a transmission go in my truck. Some of you helped a little bit with that. We appreciate it. And we got a rebuilt transmission in it with a nice warranty. We're very glad and very thankful. But there's an illustration with the mechanic that I think fits what we're going to talk about today. When you bring a vehicle in, and especially you ladies, well, there's something wrong with my car, and you try to get them, what's it doing? And a lot of times the ladies have a hard time telling you, you know, what's going on. Sometimes us men a little more mechanically inclined, and not always, but usually. And, you know, when you bring a vehicle in my case, I was having a transmission problem. And so that helps the mechanic know what to zero in on. But, you know, sometimes it's an electrical problem. Maybe your battery's not charging. Maybe your car won't start. The battery's dead. So that's a whole different area. Or maybe your engine turns over, but it doesn't start. So you've got an engine problem. Maybe you got a flat tire. Maybe the power steering's not working. See what I'm saying? There's all kinds of different areas that a mechanic has to deal with with what he does, fixing and keeping our cars on the road. But you know what? No matter what area it is, it has to do with you being able to operate and use your vehicle. Whether it's the transmission, the motor, flat tires, power steering, the steering not working, every one of those things will make you have to take your car to the shop. It's the same way with prophecy. There are many different roads of prophecy that deal with different groups of people or different things, but they all point to the same one thing, and that is the nearness and the closeness or the lateness of the hour. The Lord's coming soon. Do you see what I'm saying? In today's program, we're going to deal with that. We're going to give you at least four different roads of different kinds of prophecy. Now, they're all pointing to the same end time event, but they're different kind of things, and we're going to help you with that today. I think you'll enjoy the show. Stay tuned. And welcome, everybody, to our show. Brother Goodman here, Dr. Charles Hiltonville. Let's just jump right into it, Doc. Yeah. What did you think of my illustration, first
That's
of
about
all?
Right. Yep.
There's lots of different components on a car.
But it brings you to the same place.
Yep. And oftentimes, the shop, not many people work on transmissions. They'll usually send you up the road to the transmission place. But it still has to do with your car.
And here's the thing. When you go there, they always plug it into the computer. And that's what we have to do. We have to plug it into the computer.
That's a good I didn't have that in my illustration. That's perfect, Doc.
But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out from the computer, from the Bible in this case.
You plug into that computer and it tells you what part of that all of that whole maze of stuff on your car, what part do I need to be looking at?
And I had
here
a conversation this last week with a pastor concerning some issues that had come up in his ministry, because people were looking at things that were happening, and they said, well, this is this. And I said, preacher, we got to be careful. Prophecy is not determined by current events.
Right.
Because they may be a different event tomorrow.
Right.
And God gives prophecy in a straight line, but there's a whole lot of curves between here and there.
Yeah.
And there's some things about those curves. But there is in the Bible.
Yep.
General and specific understanding of certain roads.
For instance, there are a lot of things happening that show that Ezekiel 38 could be on the doorstep.
Yes.
But then again, we might be here 5 years from now. We might be, everything's changed now.
Yep.
So that's what you're saying. You got to be careful about jumping on some of that.
You got to be careful. You know, people say, oh, man, look at the polls. We're going to get President Trump back. I'm here to tell you the answer to the end times is not who the president is. It's what God's people are in the unrighteous world around us.
Now, you got a verse for us that kind of deals with different areas of prophecy. Like, so share that.
Now, there's, you know, both Matthew and Luke record things out of the Olivet Discourse. And in chapter 21 of the book of Luke, verse 8 says, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. And so he talks about how that there are going to be false prophets. Then he said, but when you shall hear wars and commotions, boy, are we not hearing that today. And then he goes on in verse number 9, and when you shall hear, or verse number 10, he said, then said he unto them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Then verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. That's something under the earth. And famines and pestilence and fearful sights, that's on the earth. And great signs shall there be from heaven. That's above the earth.
So in that one passage, there's several different roads of prophecy in there. So let's jump right into the first one here while you get a drink of water there, Doc. And I've got four things that I wrote down, and I've been anxious to talk about this. We've been hinting at this for weeks now, and we finally got to it here. Different roads to prophecy. Now, they're pointing to the same end-time event, but they're a different group of people or a different circumstance.
In other words, you don't want to just narrow in on one single road and say, boy, we're here, when the other road says, no, we're still here.
Yeah.
They're all going to converge together.
Yep, good way to look at that. So let's look at the first one I wrote down. And I'm in Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door.
Yes.
I don't know any prophecy preachers that don't agree with this, which is very strange. Usually there's disagreement on everything, but almost everybody believes that this parable of the fig tree is speaking of Israel.
Yes, I'm confident. And, of course, Luke records again, only Luke says not only the fig tree, but all of the trees.
Yeah.
And trees are always used symbolically of nations in prophecy.
Just like waters.
So when you see the fig tree, Israel, and if we had time, and sometime we ought to do this, because we can walk through the Old Testament and see the use of fig representing Israel. So the fig tree and all the trees that border Israel, I believe, is what he's talking about.
Yeah. And so point number one is this. One of the roads of prophecy is Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our listeners will hear us all the time talking about, you want to know how close to the end we are? Look at Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel.
Keep your eyes on Israel.
All the old-time preachers used to say, keep your eyes on Israel. And it's true, because Israel's one of the big signs of the end times.
Oh, yes. Because Israel has to be back in the forefront of things in order for God to finish his 70th week of prophecy that he gave to Daniel.
And Ezekiel, what is it, 37 or 36?
36 the bones. And 37 is the bones. 36, he says, I'm going to bring you back, not because you deserve it, but for my namesake. Then in 37, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you a step at a time, and the whole purpose is for chapter 38 in the war.
So let's say, Doc, that we're alive, and it's the year 1945, and you and I just came through World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading our Bible, and we're reading Ezekiel 36 and 37, and we're discussing what we're discussing today, different roads of prophecy. What would we say?
Well, for the first time, I've got light on this. I believe what God has said, but all of a sudden, I can see what's coming about.
Yeah, because Israel's just come through the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The world is trying to figure out what to do with
and
these Jews.
And they've declared themselves to be a nation again. And
1948, May 15th, they're going to declare Israel a nation. So right before that, if we were reading Ezekiel 36 and 37, we would have to say that is a prophecy, end-time prophecy about Israel.
Yes. And we would have said, because I had an uncle that was a preacher of prophecy in those days, and he said, at that moment, I realized chapter 36 had accomplished and 37 was getting ready to take place.
Yeah. I'd say this all the time, but M.R. DeHaan's one of my favorite. He's been dead for many decades now, but I love reading his stuff. And I've got a book on Daniel and Revelation that he wrote in 1947, 1 year before.
Yeah.
In that book, he said, one day man will go to the moon. That happened, 1967 or something like that. Or was it 69? I forget. I was just a little kid. But then he said, one day man will travel faster than the speed of sound. Mm-hmm. He was right about that. And then he said, one day Israel will be back in the land. Yep. See, he understood that Ezekiel 36 and 37 was
about. And
that's
one of the things about prophecy is we don't have to see something to believe it.
Yeah.
Because we have a track record from God that every time he's given a prophecy that's been fulfilled in the past, tells us he's going to fulfill this one in
yep.
the future.
And so we get to Matthew 24. It talks about the parable of the fig tree.
Yep.
We know that that prophecy has occurred.
Yes.
And we also know that this means, according to the passage here, this means we're at the end.
You know, there's probably, I've been told, I've searched out a lot of them, not all of them. I've been told that there's at least 70, if not closer to 100, distinct prophecies concerning Israel that have been fulfilled in the last 75 years.
Okay. And so there's many more we can go. I have my Seven Clocks of Ticking book here. And I would highly recommend, folks, that you get a copy of that. Just go to the website, click on my bookstore. If you don't have this, many of you probably already have it. Very helpful book about where we are. And there's a chapter in here about Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel 7. There's also a chapter in here. There's stuff in here about the church. There's stuff in here about Israel, what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
So very helpful, I think. But speaking about the church, this is in the Seven Clocks of Ticking book. What I'm going to share right now is Revelation chapter 3, gives 2 and 3 gives us the seven churches.
Right.
Literal churches that existed, Doc.
Absolutely.
Churches that have figurative lessons for all of
yes.
us and our churches. But more importantly, and especially in our day, they're prophetic of the entire age of the church
yes.
age. I believe 2,000 years. And the final church of the age is the one you and I are living in right now.
It's obvious.
Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Revelation, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's pretty
That's
graphic
pretty bold.
Terminology
yep.
there. God says, I want to throw you up. I'm going to
yep.
vomit you,
make me
into the
in
world
stomach.
Because you're just like the world, he's saying. Because thou sayest, I am rich. See, this
he goes
is,
on with a big list there.
This is how they look at themselves, the churches of today. Yep. Because thou sayest, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing.
That's our world.
And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And I won't read the rest
yes.
of it there, but
that's where we are.
So this is a different road, Doc. This
yes.
this is not Israel he's talking about
no.
here.
But on this road, we can see how far down then we are.
Yeah, we're at the end of the church age.
Yes.
We've gone through Ephesus, which is the apostolic age. The apostles
right.
were alive.
And the 6 letters prior to it is a letter to the church at.
Yep.
But this one is to the
church
of the Laodiceans.
Yep. And this is really
people's
not a...
People's rights and
yeah.
self
This seems
me.
To be a big church made up of the invisible, the universal church
oh.
mentality that
well, we do
we're all
now.
Just part of this one big body. And
you know, the thing is, that was always a part of Catholic dogma.
Yep.
But for centuries of time, that was not the concept within true Christianity.
Right.
But now today, through the evangelical movement and now the whatever you want to call the progressive end time, whatever they are, they all have that idea, and seldom do you find anybody that understands the Bible is written concerning local churches.
And in the book here, and I won't find it in time, but I give three things that a church has to have. And we've lost those three things. We've lost our soul. We've lost our. We've lost what we
identity.
Are. Yeah, our identity. We've. Yeah. There were three things there, and I'm trying to remember what they were here.
And we've lost our Bible. I think that's the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the scriptures. There's a second one here. Here we go. The Church of Laodicea, which is the age we're living in, it's lost its soul or its identity. Mm-hmm. It's lost its stand for moral values.
Oh.
We were talking about that before we went on the air today. You were telling me about a guy in Ohio that has lost his moral values, and he's been dropped by Family Radio and all these other people.
Yep. Hey, I'm telling you, our world in the Christian movement is eaten up with trying to reduce Christianity down to the world's level.
You know, just because you hate a sin and you preach against it doesn't mean you hate the person.
No.
Listen,
if you love that person, you're going to speak out against the sin. You can't help them otherwise.
Look, this transgenderism, I'm vocal about that. I'm going to speak out. I think the doctors who do that should be thrown in jail.
Absolutely. Not only that, but people need to understand transgenderism is just a stepping stone for transhumanism.
So when
they want to get rid of real human, the devil is behind this.
So when a preacher
to destroy humanity,
when a preacher gets up there and welcomes them and says, "Look, they're just like us. We love them. We're happy. We're for them. And if that's what they want, we'll help them." That's not helping anybody.
That's not standing for the truth.
That's right. And
we've got to stand for the.
That's
truth.
That's what we're talking about. The church has lost its stand.
It has lost it.
For right and wrong, morality.
When I was a child growing up, the churches in our area had enough emphasis and enough clout, so to speak. That's not the best word, but anyway, impact in our community that the community and school systems never done anything contrary to what churches were doing. Today, we have zero. Because Christians can get on the football field and claim to be a great Christian and out there, instead of being in church, they're out there playing a sport. That tells me they're serving a different God than the God of this Bible.
Well, Doc, can I get a little step on toes and a little mean here? Our preachers need to stop dressing like the world while they're preaching. Standing up there with a T-shirt and tattered, ripped pants and tennis shoes. Now, you can say, well, it's not a sin to dress like that. It may not be, but what example you set.
I heard my pastor say recently, there are a whole lot of things that are not bad, but they're bad for you. And there are a whole lot of things that are good, but that might not mean they're good for you.
Yeah. And by the way, when a preacher dresses down like that,
you're bringing this down instead of bringing people up to it.
The people are always a few steps behind you.
Oh, yeah.
How are they going to dress? If the preacher dresses like that, how are they going to dress?
Well, it's a pet peeve.
We're old fashioned, Doc. You know, this is how I preach. And,
I don't care.
Number three, it's whole. This last church loses the scriptures.
They lose it.
And I spend a lot of time in the book on that, in the 7 o'clock, spend a lot of time on the scriptures and where the scriptures are. We know that they lost the King James Bible is what they've lost.
Well, it bothers me so much. I do mind, but not near as bad. If an author is going to use a different version of the King James, up until the last few years, they would always say, this is from this version. Now they don't even do that.
Yeah.
They just blend it all together. They become the authority over Scripture. This is one of the signs in the church of the Laodicean, is the fact that we no longer let the Scripture be authority over us, but we've become the authority over what has God said.
And here's the thing, Doc. The church right before this, the Philadelphia Age, that's from 1700 through all the way to 1901. Two great awakenings, revivals,
all
movings
they had
of
was
God.
This King James Bible.
And God said, I've given you an open door that no man can shut. Why? Because thou has kept my word. That means exactly what it says.
That means it, yes.
They
sir.
Kept the word of God. What was the word of God in 1700 and 1800?
Yep.
King James.
Amen.
Everybody was King James.
It is.
I got a voicemail from a guy, one of our listeners, Doc, a very nasty one. He was upset that we were preaching about the King James and his Bible was just as good, and I didn't answer him. I probably can't help him. I would encourage him to read my book about the KJV. But.
Well, there's plenty of places to find the comparisons have been made between scriptures, and you're going to find in all these other things that are completely left out, words that are completely. Let's go on to the next because it's a hot button with me.
that church was given an open door, the Philadelphia church, because they kept his word. Then you get to the last church, and he counseled them. He says, I counsel you, buy of me gold trying to fire.
And they think because they have material things that that's a sign of spirituality. Or they think that busyness is a sign of spirituality.
Yeah, good point.
But spirituality shows itself up differently than the world standard.
They had lost the Word of God. They'd lost the. They'd left the King James Bible. He says, I counsel thee, buy of me the gold trying to fire, the King James Bible.
But they've just thrown out all of the standards of conduct and moral values governed by the
Bible. I had 2 Thessalonians here. We'll just briefly touch on it. It talks about the falling away.
Yes.
That's a church verse, isn't it?
It is.
That's about
Absolutely.
The New Testament church. Falling away, apostasy.
You can say the apostasy. You can say that the lukewarm state is also a world situation, but he's talking about the church.
Yeah.
And that's one of the signs, one of the roads we're talking about, is the decline of the church.
And that's a whole separate program that we're probably going to hit on again about apostasy and what things we're apostatizing on. What are we falling away from? And, of course, the Word of God's the main thing.
Well, it's okay. I said this in a message I preached a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, I'm preaching away there, and I said, okay, I may meddle a little bit here, but you're going to say, hey, preach against sin, just don't preach against my sin. You can name it, preacher, just don't name mine.
Yep. So let's go to quickly the third thing here. I got four. Signs of Israel, that's one road of prophecy. Signs concerning the church at the end time. Obviously, the Laodiceans is that end time church. Yep. Thessalonians about the falling away first. That's churches apostasy, going into apostasy, leaving the truth, going into false doctrine. And thirdly, signs concerning the world and lost people.
Oh, yes.
And I wrote 2 Timothy 3 here. There's several. In fact, I got a whole bunch of them, but that's just one of them. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come.
And we're watching it, Dan. My goodness.
You're dangerous.
Talking about the things of the world. Look at the prophecy that's being fulfilled of the world in their relationship with Israel.
Yeah.
Right now. How can people march in favor of Hamas and their wickedness and yet be so opposed to... The world situation economically, that's another world we could have walked down philosophically. I mean,
I got that written here, Revelation 13, the mark of the beast.
Just yesterday, there was a notice that five nations, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and five of them, that's joined the BRICS.
Really?
Yes. And so you can see that the world economic system is moving its way.
Can you blame them? We're going bankrupt.
No, I don't blame them at all.
And they're voting to spend more money. I mean,
the leadership in America is, it's not leadership. It's devilish in its nature.
So I got Daniel 12 written down, men running to and fro, knowledge increase. Yeah, that's the world around us. That's signs about
everywhere.
That, and it's here. Psalm 83, Revelation 13, the mark of the beast system. We can see it. Those are signs concerning the world around us.
The Gog-Magog war that you can see shaping up right now. We've got all our troops over there in the Middle East all of a sudden. I don't know how it's going to play into it, but I still don't see us as having a deterrent to Ezekiel 38. It rate we're going, Dan, we've given all of this armament and all of the materials to Ukraine, and now we're blowing up all the half of the countries over there now. It may be by the time of that, we don't have anything left to fight with.
And now we're going to have probably a civil war in America. We're that close.
We're on the verge of it now. And right now, the inductees that are going into the military are way below what's necessary.
I got Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, the statue, the four kingdoms of the world.
Absolutely.
It's a world prophecy stuff.
You can see it. You can see it in front of you just plain as day.
In closing, Doc, number four, signs concerning the world creation-wise.
Yes, creation-wise.
Why don't you hit on...
Well, the Bible says...
You read about some of those.
Yeah, the Bible said that the earth groaneth and travaileth, awaiting its day of redemption.
Yeah.
And you're watching the increase of earthquakes. Man, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You're watching the increase of tsunamis out of nowhere.
We started 2024 at 2 o'clock in the morning with an earthquake in Japan.
A great earthquake.
Yeah.
And what's happening, the world in its physiology is actually getting itself in a convulsion state for chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. The seventh vial of wrath that's going to be poured out is going to be an earthquake greater than the world has ever seen. There'll be no more mountains and no more valleys. The earth's going to have a complete topography, a complete makeover its topography. And you're watching these things. You're seeing climate change. Yeah, well, there is climate change, but there's always been climate change.
Yeah.
But that, not like what they're trying to sell us on. This is a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
And it's all about control. But if you've got a mindset of evolution, if you've got the larger people out there group is believing evolution, it won't be difficult to sell them on this garbage.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
And Matthew,
it's garbage science.
Matthew 24, verses 7 through 9 is pretty plain.
Yes.
Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Boy. There shall be famines,
yep,
pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. Mm-hmm. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And
sorrows there is the word for travail of a woman. And so when you see these things, you understand that the birth pain process, every time there's a birth pain, they get a little closer together and a little more severe until it happens. Yeah. And we're getting where they're really getting close together, and yeah, they're pretty severe.
Well, folks, there you have it. Four different avenues or roads of prophetic things, all pointing to the end time. And look at these roads. Look at them all coming to pass, every one of them, right out of the Bible. Well, folks, we are listener-supported, viewer-supported. We appreciate our partners out there who keep us on the air. And won't be long. A few more weeks, we'll be in need of your help again.
Amen.
We're partway there, but we're not there yet. And so if you're one of our partners, one of our givers out there, check and see if it's that time again for you to help us out. And we appreciate everyone that does that. And if you're not a giver and you'd like to be, just go to the website, prophetinthespotlight.com. All the information is there. In fact, there's two or three donate buttons you can choose from to donate. The address is there where you can give by check. And many people send checks, and that's fine. We appreciate it very much. Doc, we got about 15 and 20 seconds, a little gospel presentation from you.
If you're not born again, you need to understand you were born headed to hell, and it's not God's fault. God sent his son to Calvary's cross. He paid the price of sin. But you need to come and to the Lord and say, please, Lord, I believe what you did. You did it for me. I right now accept you as my Savior. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord,
amen,
shall be saved.
All righty. All right, well, folks, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.